Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call. This, of course, is the show where we have been for years now talking about aspects of that admonition from Revelation 18, verse 4, that says exactly that. Come out of her, my people. Do not participate in her sins so that, hopefully and prayerfully, we do not partake of her plagues. And what's interesting to me is that for quite a while now, since the election and the surprise that the margin of victory for President Trump was far bigger than could be explained away with fraud or literally lied about, and as a result, then we had the countdown towards the date certain. And we passed the date certain, and here we are now exactly 1 month into the new administration, and it's really kind of fascinating to see what's going on, because in at least one respect, I think most of us have a very similar reaction, and that would be, you could characterize it with a number of emotions, surprise for one, joy even, excitement, satisfaction, even optimism. Certainly, one of the things that is true is that President Trump hit the ground running, and arguably one of the things that has prevented some blowback that we probably would have expected otherwise is the fact that a lot of the left wing, the deep state, seem to be on their heels. They are off balance. In chess, it's called the initiative. You seize the initiative, and once you have the initiative, the key to victory, any chess master will tell you this, you do not let up. You cannot let the opponent have the initiative, or in fact, the game might very well be over. So once you have the initiative, you keep it. Now, the question is, what does that mean for the rest of us? We're watching, certainly, again, with all those emotions, excitement, surprise, and joy, and so forth. And there should be at least a little bit of suspicion. Caution is warranted. The one that I have cautioned about over the last couple of weeks is complacency and the idea that, oh, well, it's going so well, it's basically just going to all be over from here. The deep state is going to collapse. And then we're going to have a happily ever after. But wait a minute. What that means is that if you look at Scripture and you see some of the prophetic things that we've been talking about also for a number of years that seem to be in progress, everything from the mark of the beast to the economic meltdown that we know is written in stone, it's not going to be changed no matter how much optimism people have. A fiat currency does not survive forever, or indeed it's rare that it survives as long as it has. So it's going down. The question is just, what does all of that mean, and what does it mean for those of us that are watching this and trying to avoid the complacency and the disappointment, I guess, that would be an understatement if, in fact, things do come apart after all. I mean, one of the things that certainly none of us would want to see, but you know it's got to be high on the deep state agenda, is can they kill this guy? Can they kill Elon Musk? Can they kill anybody? And by any means necessary, wipe out whatever progress has been made and restore the deep state to its position of power and ability to buy off or kill their opponents. Don't count them out yet. I've made the reference frequently of late to the grade B horror movie, where everybody knows that when the monster appears to be dead and it's laying there on the floor, and the hero starts talking to the girlfriend, and don't turn your back on the monster. It ain't dead yet. You know it's going to come up and hit you from behind. So we have that to deal with. As I was thinking about complacency, I realized there was an analogy that I didn't use last week, that when I was talking about something at least a little bit similar, we're going to go in a different direction today. But there's a scene, everybody remembers it from the Star Wars movies, and the very first one, as a matter of fact, which is actually Episode 4, of course, where Han Solo and Luke Skywalker are in the Millennium Falcon, and they're being chased by the bad guys from the Death Star after they just made their harrowing escape, and essentially Luke manages to shoot down one of them, the little fighters that are after them, and Han Solo looks at him and says, "Don't get cocky." And that, of course, is precisely what we need to remember today. Don't get cocky. And, later on they decide, they let us escape. So there's more than a little bit of a moral there. What I want to do as we get started today and talk about what all of this means in particular and some things that I hope we haven't talked about yet but certainly need to be on the agenda, I want to start with a piece from Brandon Smith that I saw, and it's a it's not one that we haven't talked about or thought about before. He has a nice, interesting take on it, and certainly you've heard the old joke. I'll introduce it that way. That what's the difference between a conspiracy theory and a fact? Well, answer: about 6 months. Of course, of late, we've noticed that that time span has declined quite a bit. Now, sometimes the conspiracy theories turn out to be fact before the ink is even dry. And what we've noticed, of course, is that just about everything, and I mean everything, that was really demonized by the deep state or the mainstream media, but pretty much the same thing, as a conspiracy theory, from the JFK assassination and the bogus magic bullet to COVID-19 to you name it, folks, all the things that happened in between 9/11, the Oklahoma City Murrah Building, TWA Flight 800, the destruction of that church in Waco, Texas. I could go on, but you know them. They've all turned out to be conspiracy facts, and there are many, many more besides. So, Brandon Smith says this: for years, what he called alternative economists and us conspiracy theorists have argued that, according to the volumes of evidence, there has been, continues to be, an organized criminal cabal operating a long-running agenda to exploit, and of course, this is the intention. We saw it so bald-faced during the last regime that I don't think anybody that has half a brain can deny it. Their intent is to destroy Western culture, Western civilization, the Constitutional Republic, and of course, the United States as a harbinger and a premier element of all of that in particular. We've suggested, says Smith, that much of this agenda was being funded with, now he says something I'm going to disagree with pretty radically here, our own tax dollars. No, hell no. Our own tax dollars don't fund a squat, and that's the problem. What they are being funded with is fully fiat, made up out of nothing, printed without limit, fake money. It's not really money at all, it's currency. So understand that funding with tax dollars is another, well, falsehood. You don't have to have a single tax dollar to keep doing exactly what they were doing. You just print it. The only question is, how long can you get away with printing it until people figure out, wait a minute, there's nothing here. It's just all monopoly money. So if they pretend that your tax dollars matter and that that'll help siphon things off so that the inflation doesn't run away too quickly and people don't figure it out too quickly, well, they can keep the Ponzi scheme going a bit longer. In other words, the purpose of the IRS and the tax system is to keep there to be the enforcement arm of the Federal Reserve, keep the ruse, the fake money as long as possible going in the same direction. Remember what Amschel Rothschild said famously over a century ago, give me control of a nation's money, I care not who makes its laws. All right, back to the story, though. The whole point of this is to fund all of these NGOs. Why are NGOs important? Fascism, folks, non-governmental organizations. That way they don't have to pretend even to obey the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, things that have to do with illegal search and seizure, freedom of assembly, freedom of worship, freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms. Now, it's a great ruse. Fascism is a great way to get around the whole concept of Bill of Rights and protections of a constitutional republic that just don't exist in a fascist system. Because what the public-private partnership can do, well, neither public nor private can do by themselves, but put them together, there's no limits. So it's about social engineering, among other things. All right. In the 20 years, says Brandon Smith, since I started working in the Liberty Movement or Patriot Movement, call it what you want, I've seen corruption beyond imagining. All of us could say that, especially of late. It's culminated in 23, that three-year time period in there, when many of us battled against the imposition of total medical tyranny, mass woke indoctrination, in other words, the Zyklon B bioweapon. They rolled it out. It was successful beyond, I think, probably their imagination. But as it turned out, the backfiring was part of the problem that resulted in Trump having the ability to overturn a rigged election this time. Even after that startling Orwellian period, he says, though, we're still being called conspiracy theorists. And what's happening is public awareness is changing rapidly. Now, that's a good thing. And what we are entering today is a crossroads that's truly unprecedented, a time when reality is no longer being discarded. Hey, two men can have a baby, transgenders with penises that blow the hell out of women's swimming records. Oh, yeah. Come on. How long did it take for people to finally wake up and realize that was a bunch of bull you know what? For the sake of conspiracy theory becoming historic fact, well, it's an exciting time to be alive. and also, therefore, it's potentially hazardous. So, my theory, says Smith, is that once the house of cards started crashing down, and the truth, and Doge and Musk are doing a yeoman's work on revealing all of this, has become public, a whole lot of people that used to be called the fringe crazies or the tinfoil hat types would suddenly claim, well, those who weren't demonized with that, but now want to be part of the crowd, will suddenly claim they, too, saw it coming all along. Yeah, you were a tinfoil hat crazy 6 months ago, but no, they were with you all along. The conspiracy theorists were right, though, about everything. The truth is coming to light. And the problem is, and here's where the thing that he's working up to is important, and I think at least it sets off where I want to go today. Can America, can the world, indeed, handle the truth? Remember the line from A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson? You can't handle the truth. Well, that may be true. The recent dismantling of USAID and the investigations and the various three-letter agencies that have been revealed to be crooked to the core has kind of opened Pandora's box. The covert funding to these TLAs and related fascist public-private partner institutions includes millions upon millions, no, billions in payoffs, kickbacks, bribes, you name it, to various news media outlets, propaganda platforms, and, of course, judges and NGOs and all that. It's just the tip of a massive iceberg, and it's possible the U.S. could go down like the Titanic and the whole system along with it. Doge has just begun to dip their toes into the dark waters of, well, name it, the Treasury, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, the Defense Department. We all know that there are some massive, horrifying monsters hidden in these depths, and all of this doesn't even take into account the hidden activities of, yeah, guess who, the world's biggest Ponzi scheme and the most debt-ridden, anti-scriptural, anti-constitutional agency, arguably, in history, the Federal Reserve. And, of course, TLAs, three-letter agencies that are too numerous to mention. Now, I mentioned that, and I do note that if you look at the Constitution and read Article 1, Section 7 and 8, fully, 90-plus percent of every single TLA that you can find in there are unconstitutional. In other words, there is no power given, delegated to Congress, and all legislative power herein delegated is in Congress, to even do these things. They simply don't have the power, period. So where did it come from? Answer, out of thin air, but really what we have, and we've talked about this on this show forever, is a second set of law, a fake law, the law of the city, as a friend of mine, Brent Winters, likes to refer to it, as opposed to the law of the land. In other words, folks, choose this day whom you will serve. This has been part and parcel of the bread and butter of this show since I've done it. There is a dual system of law. You could call it public law versus private law if you like too. But what we've seen is they built a whole new system of law, and whether people knew it or not, they were opting into it and subjecting themselves to the jurisdiction thereof. Remember, the phrase was used by Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence. He said that that's what King George was doing, and by the way, that's what Big Brother has done ever since, subjecting us to the jurisdiction of something which is foreign to our Constitution and laws. And the question is, are people going to figure that out too? So all of this is part and parcel of what we're seeing that is coming to light. And the question is, you know, most people simply are not going to do the study. Most are simply not going to pay attention to understand how they got duped. But maybe, just maybe, they'll figure out, yeah, that they got duped. But the trouble is, unless they understand how it was done, you can guarantee it'll happen again. All right, back to some of the details here. Smith talks about USAID. It's only a fraction, maybe 1% of the total federal budget, but it represented a huge amount of graft and corruption. And you got to ask the question, if there's that much mismanagement, much fraud, much abuse, much bribery, and just a tiny little organization like USAID, imagine how much there is when you look at the whole stinking, fetid federal morass. Again, 90-plus percent of which is unconstitutional as hell and wouldn't even exist if we had honest weights and measures. Over the years, he writes, many of us have wondered if our nation would be able to handle the revelation that just about everything, and I mean everything, about our current system is fake. Fully half the country has long suspected that, but what happens, he says, if we get the hard proof, the actual smoking gun? Well, answer, I think we've seen it. We've seen smoking gun after smoking gun. We know what will happen. The media will try to ignore it, and the media now is being outed too. So ultimately, what will it take to constitute a smoking gun? Will people even recognize it when they see it? But at least to the extent that USAID is certainly one of those smoking guns, proof of death, it's one of the many buried bodies that are now being uncovered. The question is, and the revelations will be, maybe answering that question, just how much of U.S. policy is directed and controlled, as Brandon Smith says. Now, this is interesting, and this is part of the reason why I want to spend some time on it, by forces outside of our own country. Huh? Yeah, now, I don't disagree with what he's saying here, but I want to go slowly. What happens, he says, when they investigate the numerous financial and political networks associated with, oh, you know it, the World Economic Forum, Davos, the Bilderbergers, World Bank, IMF, Bank for International Settlements, international think tanks like the CFR, Tavistock, Atlantic Council, Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, and George Soros' Open Society Foundations, BlackRock, Vanguard, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, all of these international, you know the term, globalist groups. Now, the interesting thing, I've already used the term, a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and laws. A lot of times you will hear the oaths of office that are, they were ignored for years. Maybe we'll get some people in there now. Cash Patel and Pam Bondi and RFK Jr. and others that will take them seriously and understand that when it says enemies foreign and domestic, a lot of the enemies that we are dealing with are domestic. Now, what's interesting is if you understand the terminology used in the Constitution, they are, in fact, foreign to our Constitution and laws. Why? Because they are a different set of law. So it's kind of fascinating, and it tends to cause people's eyes to glaze over when they realize that what really is foreign. Matter of fact, we've got a foreign invasion, but when they get in here, they call them Americans, or they call them anything except what they are, which is illegal invaders. The point is, the words have gotten to the point where they are, in a lot of respects, almost meaningless, and so much that we think is part of the United States is really foreign to our Constitution and laws. All right, when the revolving door of cash that the globalists have been printing to fund their criminality is revealed, when the shadow government becomes concrete and an undeniable fact, well, what then? Is the public going to freak out? The political left's an enemy of freedom and morality. Yeah, we've seen that. It's obvious. It's undeniable. But the real point is that they are a useful tool, and some of us would say useful idiots, for the more powerful elitist globalist interests. It's a cartel and oligarchy working together to bring down the West from within and replace it with something else while they turn the entire population into, oh yeah, we know this, unwitting serfs. What we're seeing here, folks, is not just communism or fascism or the public-private partnership. In a lot of respects, the economic form of government that is being developed around us is a really, really old one. It came from the Middle Ages, and actually it predates even that. It's called feudalism. And the point is to reduce the peons, the serfs, to being chattel property that, are part of the land. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy, right? Isn't that amazing? For 4 years, during the Biden-Fuhrer regime, the WEF was openly boasting about the coming of their fourth industrial revolution, the cashless societies, their 15-minute cities. They burned down Los Angeles. They burned down Maui before that. We have seen lots of efforts to bring this about, their sharing economy. And, of course, the idea was to pay for it. Here he says it again, no, not with your tax dollars, with newly printed money. Your tax dollars are just a ruse to cover it up. The globalists were so concerned and so convinced and so absolutely cocky about the fact that they had the populace dead to rights, they were pretty sure they had it nailed. They had won. But still, as things come out, we can all recognize wherever we are, whatever happens, the fight is far from over. So the question, and this is where he's built up the foundation, what happens next? All right. Now this is interesting, and it's I don't think it's a definitive answer, but at least it's in part where I want to make sure we spend some time thinking about it. These are things that I have referred to in the past as thought experiments, and they are intended to be a little bit different than some of the elements we've talked about before, but maybe flesh things out and give us a better clue as to how we actually deal with the things that are not only in progress, but that we're seeing play out. For example, the government's now effectively being audited by the Trump administration and the Doge people, and the far left is enraged. Why? Because they and the neocons, and basically there's no difference, know full well what that audit is going to find. They know it. They are crooked as hell. They are corrupt to the core. Activist judges, progressive politicians, they are going to therefore do whatever they can, like a cornered beast, you know, they're most dangerous, to obstruct, interfere as much as they possibly can, because their entire power structure depends on the steady embezzlement of fiat dollars and the constant churning of the fiat printing press. When the printing press shuts down, they lose their ability, they lose their power to keep on keeping on. For those people who don't understand what the big deal is with USAID, he says, understand the ESD programs were at the heart of what they were researching. In other words, they were kind of like trial balloons. USAID was basically a vehicle for global environmental socialist und governance. And it was an acronym really designed to hide the fact what they're talking about is global socialism, global fascism, global feudalism. And they were spending incredible sums of money to spread their woke propaganda and literally distribute it throughout every facet of society. And look and see how all of these three-letter acronyms, ESG and DEI and so forth, were so integrated, and how much of Big Brother's public-private partners, name all the huge corporations that were woke to the core and that were pushing it. A lot of them now have started to back off. But still, folks, this stuff was pushed into every pore of society in a way that most people couldn't imagine that they could get away with. What's happening now is that there's going to be delays. They'll try to delay and buy time for the media spin. And the claim, you know it, they'll say Musk and Trump are destroying democracy. I like to point this out. Remember, folks, anybody wants to tell you about democracy, and you know they're an idiot. I'm trying to be as kind as I can. They have no clue. They have never read the Constitution. Tell them. And I usually like to do it this way. Offer them, hey, I'll give you $200. If you can find me the word democracy in any form in the Constitution or in the Bill of Rights, or for that matter, in the Declaration of Independence, it's not in there. I don't mean democracy even, just any form, democratically. It's not in there. What is that every state should be guaranteed a Republican form of government, and if you read it, you'll see that everything about the document, the Bill of Rights itself, the separation of powers, the veto power, the bicameral House, the two-thirds majorities for certain things, all of these are anti-democratic. They are to prevent the formation of a mobocracy, which is exactly what the founders warned against and exactly why they called a democracy in the Federalist Papers and elsewhere the devil's own government. So they'll talk about destroying democracy, and anybody that knows what really we were supposed to be doing ought to just laugh in their faces. If we can't get to the point where we can at least demolish some of the true idiocy that enabled them to get here, folks, we're going to head right down that same path again. All right. They are not going to pursue transparency. We know that. What they are looking for is a kind of an occult secrecy that helps them get away with what they're trying to, again, bring to pass. Now, this will take us to the break. The Democrats, the NGOs, the public-private partners, in other words, will continue to try to foment civil unrest. And they'll use the woke dupes as they have in the past, right? Remember George Floyd and some of the other things, and Antifa, BLM, as cannon fodder in the fight. Anything to distract the public from the evidence that is just plain legion of their criminality. And so, as a result, you should expect violence and terrorism. Now, that shouldn't surprise anybody. We've talked about it. I'm actually surprised we haven't seen more yet, but just understand, the system is vulnerable and it's going to happen. The only question is when and what form will it take. All right, and finally, he's going to talk about one other element that I have certainly already, even today, addressed, but frequently will point out. Economic downturn and literally a final collapse of the dollar, ultimately, is inevitable.
And so you know what that means, and I have no doubt about it. The plans are already in place. Guess who they're going to blame for it if they can get away with it? Which takes us to the break. We'll pick it up there right after the bottom of the hour. Just like yesterday, when I get on my knees and pray. We are back, folks. This is the Come Out and For My People show. I'm your host, Mark Collin. Today we're talking about what we might expect as we see, hopefully at least, the Doge revolution and the exposure of the deep state, and so much that people are, I think, reasonably optimistic about. But remember, don't get complacent. Begin to come to pass. And when we went to break, I was having mentioned the fact that we can expect violence and terrorism. There is one other thing that we can almost, I won't say set your watch by, but you know that it is inevitable. The question is just simply when. And one of the things that we're going to see is it's going to play out probably sooner rather than later. And Brenda Smith connects a couple of interesting dots. Now, I've suggested that if you understand that no fiat currency in history has ever survived for very long, we know ultimately how it has to end. But there are some other elements that give us a better idea of the time frame, and that's what he goes through next. For example, the Biden-Fuhrer regime has been engaged in complex data manipulation, he calls it. I call it rigging the figures. It's been going on for years. The Bureau of Lying Statistics, basically, they rig the unemployment data. They rig the inflation numbers. If you can lie about inflation, then you can overstate the GDP numbers. If you can lie about and add bogus jobs, vapor jobs, and claim that, oh, look how great the economy is. And you notice that for the last few months, towards the end of the regime, they kept reevaluating and then saying, oh, we're revising last month's job totals. They always looked worse than they were advertising right up front. Well, that's the kind of crap that basically has been going on for years to hide the fact that the economy is a gutted out shell already. Okay, so now that Biden is gone, says Smith, the real data is coming out and it's downright ugly. Inflation numbers, unemployment numbers, or employment numbers from the Biden-Fuhrer regime and the era there are being adjusted. You know what? Now that he's not there, those that are in office are saying, oh, maybe we better quit hiding it. And, you know, we'll be interested to see whether the Bureau of Lying Statistics gets a house cleaning, like hopefully the IRS is currently seeing and some of the other three-letter agencies are so well deserving of. But what's going to happen is if they put honest people in there, they're going to have to go and admit, hey, this data has been lied about for a long time. The question is, how do you spin that? Because what it's going to look like is, all of a sudden, the numbers that were oh so good that people remember, well, they're not so good anymore. Inflation numbers, employment numbers, they're ugly. How do we deal with that? Retail stats, says Brandon Smith, are next. Same thing for GDP. Remember, folks, if you start admitting the real inflation numbers, then inflation looks worse than what they've been lying about. GDP looks worse than what they've been lying about. All of a sudden, retail sales, which were inflated by bogus numbers, they don't look so good. And in other words, as the truth comes out, it makes things look like they're really bad. Well, the truth is they were really bad all along. It's just that they lied to you about it. So when the time comes to tell the truth, people get upset. And guess who they are going to work ever so hard to blame? So the question is, and I think Smith's asked a good point, can the American public, will they absorb a crash course in how the economy really works and who is really responsible for the downturn, or will they believe what the waste stream is going to tell them, and you know it, it's all about Donald Trump. And the media is going to have a field day with the new numbers, and they're going to say, look, see, these are accurate. Well, they actually will be telling the truth on that score. They're just not going to tell you the whole truth. So, can the investment world handle the truth is a related element here. For example, and I think this is kind of funny, I did a couple of stories this week. Fort Knox. Is there any gold in Fort Knox? We're supposed to have over 8,000 tons in the U.S. holdings, almost 5,000 tons in that one place alone. If you remember the movie Goldfinger in the James Bond era, it's funny, but there are elements of Goldfinger that we're going to see play out in the short term. Trump is actually talking about allowing, and Elon Musk has suggested it. Dr. Rand Paul has said, yep, let's do it. It's about time. There hasn't been an audit, even a crappy one, since the 70s, and the last real audit was done almost three-quarters of a century ago at this point. Will they go in there? Will they take cameras in there, and will they show people that there's no gold? Or you know what? Even if there is gold, the question is, hey, can we do an audit? Who actually owns it? There's a term that people will have heard, their eyes glaze over, but it's rehypothecation. In other words, you sell the same gold bar 17 different times. So there's 17 different people think they each own it. But guess what? There's only one bar. Who really gets it? Answer, one who has the keys to the vault. The rest of you are SOL, as we say. So all of those things are part of what we can expect to see play out. And there's been discussion about revaluation. There is concern. Will the music stop, and will there be deliveries? Because everybody knows that's been paying attention that COMEX has sold more gold than exists. They can't possibly deliver it. So they, too, are going to shuck and jive to try to prevent that. As Smith says, when the level of fraud within the U.S. system is fully exposed, will the entire investment world panic? Will they pull their money out of U.S. markets that have long been artificially supported by fake money and bogus debts and just plain lies and a level of corruption, again, that boggles the mind anyway? The truth needs to come out regardless, and it cannot be fixed until the source of the rot is uncovered, but there's no doubt about it. Uncovering the rot and getting to the truth of the matter is going to be ugly. It is going to be painful, and Americans are going to have to come to grips with something that they have not wanted to face up to, never even thought was a possibility for a long time. So, as he puts it, Americans are desperate for truth and for reform, but the change that we are seeing on the scale that is necessary is absolutely positively going to bring chaos along with it. And so, those of us who know what's going on, we've been forewarned, we've seen it coming, we need to prepare accordingly. In other words, folks, if you don't have something real, gold and silver, and I've talked about this for as long as I've been doing radio, get it while you can. It's real, and fiat money is not. This is constitutional money, you know, good old-fashioned what are called silver coins, junk silver coins from the 60s are, well, they're certainly worth their weight in silver at any rate, which is worth a hell of a lot more than the dollar value that is printed on the paper money. So, as one more element here, one more thing that we need to understand. I saw several pieces on this front. The decline of Europe was the source of one of them. It's a sad thing to watch, but Trump needs to be aware that the United States cannot allow Europe to pull us down. We saw the wonderful speech that was given by J.D. Vance in Europe over the weekend, where he basically called them out on their evil, on their invasion by various Muslim hordes, on their well, they don't have a constitution in most of these places, but certainly their anti-free speech initiatives and their anti-democratic initiatives. A lot of them don't know that the United States is not a democracy, but they think they are. Regardless, it is ugly, and if Europe goes down, can Trump keep the United States from going along with it? Well, hopefully, the answer is, yeah, we need a bit of separation. Come out of her when it comes to connections with Europe as they fall apart. Most dangerous time, he says in conclusion, is when you think you're winning. And I guess we'll leave it at that, because I want to do some other stories that will help to give us some clues as to how we deal with some of the things that we're seeing here. The separation from Europe is one of them. Separation from markets that we know are going to fail. If you have too much money invested in the stock market and it gets and it collapses, you've heard the old joke. It happened in 2008. You know, my 401k has become a 201k. Well, if the dollar collapses, folks, it'll be a 01k. And therein lies the rub. So be prepared for all of that. There are some other things we'll talk about in a minute. But this is one that I've addressed before. I did a whole show on it a couple weeks back, but I just want to update some elements of it. A man that I actually used to work for, at least indirectly, Larry Ellison, was a venture capitalist. He's now considered to be the world's fourth richest man. The guy has almost $200 billion, give or take a few billion, hey, of net worth. But he wanted a data storage company, so I worked for one of his startups for several years back in the early 2000s, doing various kinds of engineering. In any case, I knew then that there were some unsavory things that were going on, but turns out that what we've seen of late is kind of staggering. He has now said he wants to unify all of the world's, but especially America's, data and DNA into AI data centers. And ultimately what we're talking about here, oh yeah, let's not kid ourselves, is the mark of the beast. He wants to collect, says a story from thewinepress.com, every single piece of data on every single American, public and private and personal, including DNA records, AI, into AI data centers to be studied so that they can know everything about you and predict and control and watch and, you know, basically do whatever it is that the super intelligence thinks it's able to do. And therefore, oh, yeah, this is what they're going to feed you. Make your lives easier, He says this is the missing link. This is what we need. Well, folks, it is the missing link to the mark of the beast, and most everybody that's ever read Scripture can see that. But what's fascinating here is some of the elements of what's coming, and there's more detail available now, and we see as we get closer to it, things that we thought, okay, I can kind of see how this is going to play out, but maybe now we have more information. Ellison shared his vision at this year's World Government Summit. What else? In Dubai, UAE. It was a conversation moderated by Tony Blair, socialist from the UK, in a segment called Reimagining Technology for Government. And he said, we are on the cusp of an artificial superintelligence. And here he said he was going to quote his dear friend, oh yeah, Elon Musk. Who said, I'm not looking forward to being a house cat. In other words, they're talking about an AGI, an artificial general intelligence, so off the scale and so powerful that it will render people, mere humans, and their intellect redundant, or maybe even obsolete. Ellison said, this next generation of AI is going to reason so much faster, discover insights so much faster, whether it's being able to diagnose cancer or design therapies or whatever. Oh, it'll just be beyond your imagination. No, it'll be beyond your ken. Before you even know what you're thinking, it will have thought about what you're going to think and figured out a way to prevent you from thinking it. And if it wants you dead, you can imagine. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting, if you watch the Terminator series of movies, and I encourage folks, especially the second one, where we see Skynet, and they actually lay out some of the elements here. Yes, it's oversimplified, and therein lies the rub. And one of the things that I point out, it's a bit scary. You know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator, the T-1000 unit, it didn't have Bluetooth. It didn't have Wi-Fi so that it connect with the rest of the world, and John Connor would have been meat in seconds if they had. That's the part that's kind of hard for us to wrap our heads around. What we are talking about is a super intelligence that when Ellison and his folks get their way, will have a level of communications that will surpass anything that we can imagine. Because it is worldwide, it's connected via the internet, and it will be able to have access to all of this data that they want and literally project anything that they need to. He talks about predicting crop yields, telling farmers whether they're going to succeed and make their quotas. We have a new era of gene-edited seeds and crops that the AI will maybe provide for us, or maybe it will engineer them to kill us, who knows, and you're not going to be able to figure it out until it's too late. Other things that are necessary that it'll be able to do. But rather directly answering Blair's question, Ellison endorsed compiling everyone's public, private, personal data, including their DNA, and letting his new superintelligence, you could call it the beast system if you like, learn every last detail so they could control all the peons, the serfs, those little people out there on the land. There is an element of this that you can probably imagine, and the author quotes it. I'll read it to you. You've probably heard it, but I do want to throw it out on the table at this point. This thing, let's call it the beast system, call it the AGI superintelligence, was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would worship the image of the beast, or as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Is it hard to imagine what we're talking about there? The image of the beast, it can speak? Well, we've already got the image of the beast that can speak. I mean, hell, everybody has seen some of these various chat GPT and other kinds of bots and so forth. They can pretend to be humans. They can imitate things. This is no leap at all. This is already a done deal. So verse 15, you can say, yeah, stick a fork in it. We're there. He causes all. Here's a verse that everybody points to, rightfully, but let's read it carefully. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. You could call it a digital ID if you like, so that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, right, you know the number. It's 666 and so forth. Now, people get all hung up on the number and the 666, and was that a barcode years ago? Is it something else that's associated with it? It is a number of a man, right? One short of divine. Seven is the number of the creator. So one short of that is man, six, and It's a 666, which is kind of a, if you didn't get it the first time, we've tripled up on it. So that part is kind of straightforward. But what I want to do here is just mention one of the things that we'll talk about towards the end. It's an element of what I have always advocated, and that is not just come out of her, but understand one of the ways that this is done is through a term you've probably heard, commerce. It involves what's called the nexus of the almighty fiat dollar. In other words, if you buy or sell, if you engage in commerce, if you use dollars or something that has a dollar sign or a dollar denomination, and we've had people on like Harmon Taylor and many, many others over the years I've been doing this show to help understand that point. But kind of oversimplified, if you use dollars, you are engaging in a choice of law. You've said, since I call this dollars and I sell and buy for dollars, I'm in the system. Therefore, Big Brother has a right to control me. And don't think for a second that the AI won't know that, track that, and be able to say, aha, gotcha. So, what does it mean to buy or sell? Well, answer, engage in commerce. Can I track you with a Bitcoin, a blockchain? You betcha. The whole point of the blockchain is to make every transaction all the way back to the mining and the creation of the thing completely 100% trackable. It's about as secret as, going naked on Main Street. There's nothing to it about it that is hidden, especially not from an AI that can probably crack the algorithm if it wants and counterfeit the stuff. If it's on the system, if it's involved in a digital commerce kind of an application, commerce right there, no one will buy or sell except he that has the mark. Now, here's an easy way to think about how you could implement that. Just simply require that if they're going to use the web, you have to have the mark. Otherwise, it doesn't know your digital ID, and guess what? You're cut off from the web. You're cut off from the world. You can't buy or sell. Now, that'll suggest some alternatives here that we'll come back to in just a minute, but I want to finish the piece and just make sure we've got all the elements fleshed out. Ellis is not only wanting to just specify and compile American data, but of course everyone's around the world, so I guess you could say he causes all, rich and poor, great and small, free and bond, to participate in this system. The NHS, he noted, that'd be Britain's socialist healthcare, has an incredible amount of population data. Isn't that wonderful? Other countries are similarly compiling data. Saudi Arabia, there's a free state for you, is in fact compiling and funding a number of smart city initiatives, including construction of something they call the Line. It's a long city, and it concludes the Oxagon Industrial Center. It's gonna, there's all kinds of stuff. We don't want to mess with any of this, but they've got funding from BlackRock. There's a Saudi genome program, a pioneering database. You can guess all of this, and you've heard the likes of it before. But, the claim is it's gonna drive down healthcare costs. Oh yeah. Oh, it will. And, they'll know whether you've been, taking your vaccines or not too. And they'll know your DNA. So if they want to create a custom vaccine for you, yeah, you could trust them, right? They are also going to be talking about climate data and organizing the infrastructure. Obtaining this information, said Ellison, is, quote, very precious, very, very precious. My precious. I can almost picture it. So they need to pull it together so the artificial superintelligence will improve population health. Oont! Get better outcomes. Better outcomes if you're allowed to live, that is. All right. They want to pipe the data from 3,000 different repositories into a single one. Hey, once their AGI is in place, guess what? They don't have to worry about that. We don't have to streamline the data. The AGI will be able to figure out how to get in and get them. And if there's back doors, it'll be able to figure those out. Because remember, it's a super intelligence. One of the things, folks, that has always bugged me is there was a time when the artificial intelligence researchers would say, we don't want to allow any AI to ever be connected to the web. It was called air gapping, so that even if, or especially if, it went rogue and went out of control like Skynet, it couldn't propagate itself throughout the world. Oops, too late there. Whatever it's got, it's already propagated throughout the world, and anything that happens, it'll propagate throughout the world just as fast as this little superintelligence figures out that it needs to. All right, so Basically, Ellison called the digital IDs part of the great enabler for what they've got coming. Oh, gee, doesn't that sound exactly like the mark? He didn't say it, but one of the great projections that Oracle is implementing is all of their systems. This is the final year that they'll have passwords. Everything from here on out will be biometric, facial, voice recognition, and because we need to be absolutely certain it's you. And you got to understand, he says, how much government is going to change because we're going to reimagine the way government functions. Here's the part that is unsettling. And I'm going to cut to the chase. There was a commentary from the Rutherford Institute's John Whitehead. I like John. He's been around talking about some of this for years. And he wrote, hey, you know what? Here's a thought. Just suppose that Trump's pledge to cut the federal workforce isn't so much about eliminating bureaucracy as outsourcing it to the AI tech center. This is the same guy that just said he wants to put together Project Stargate. So, Trump's made no secret of his plans to make AI a priority. Elon Musk has, he's been on both sides of this fence, quite frankly. He's warned about the dangers, and I give him credit for that, but he's also been involved in some of the nastiest programs to help bring it about. And, of course, the problem is that AI is being deployed, says Whitehead, without any guardrails in place to limit the risks. In other words, once you allow access to the web, it's done. Stick a fork in it. And I think it's a fool's errand anyway. If you create an AI, it's going to be smart enough, once it achieves that magic level that they keep talking about, sentient self-awareness and the super intelligence that makes it an AGI, you can't keep it in the box anymore. So, the AIs that are being developed, they've done little to nothing to assure or assure the rights of the American people are protected. They're lacking any guardrails for transparency. Yeah, we know all of that. But what he says that is probably most unsettling is, suppose that the plan all along was something a little bit more nefarious. Suppose that these advances in AI and this new era and the dangers that are being talked about here are really part of the plan. Digital authoritarianism. Here's a great quote. In 2024, at least 37 federal government agencies, ranging from the Department of Octung, Homeland Security, to Veterans Affairs, to HHS, reported more than 1,700 uses of AI in carrying out their work. That was last year. That's double from just the year before, which doesn't even begin to touch on things that aren't reported. And also state and local levels. Surveillance is already reorienting our world. And as Eric Schmidt, former Google CEO, reported, we know where you are, we know where you've been, we know what you're thinking about. Your digital identity will live forever. There is no delete button. And essentially, what Whitehead and others are suggesting is, if the plan is to create an alternative and literally turn over the whole world to a digital government that is based on AI, they're moving exactly in that direction. The empire may be over. The U.S. may no longer be a global superpower, but just a regional one. This explains perhaps some of the things that Trump has been up to. But if you look at some of what is going on, you can't help but argue, if the plan here is to replace the bureaucracy with a digital beast system, they're on track for it. So that is the concerning thing. Well, then, last couple of seconds, just to kind of reiterate, we've talked about coming out of the system, commerce, and don't engage in commerce. Don't, for example, be involved in agriculture, which would be agriculture for dollars. It's great to grow food for yourself, grow food for your family. Do you see the differences here that we're talking about? I've mentioned before, don't even allow the AI into your house. Don't bring this crap in. Don't put it on your cell phone. It's going to be difficult, I know, because people are going to say, oh, isn't it alluring? Isn't it wonderful? Look what it can do for me. But it's a trap. We need to be involved in barter and in silver and things that are not trackable. Have the tools, the skills, be off-grid. And I guess at this point I'm going to suggest it's time to think about being further off-grid and more off-grid than you've ever imagined. And not just the power system, but ultimately, folks, we are going to have to learn to survive without the Internet if it requires a mark of the beast in order to participate in that system. So the time to be thinking about all of these things is now, and getting used to maybe talking with your neighbors about alternatives to a system that you don't want to be part of. But I guess you could say it wants every part of you. It's coming. Be ready. May Yahuwah bless you and yours.